So I have to tell you, we've been doing live stream worship for 4.5 months now, if you can believe it. 4.5 months. And for 4.5 months, every Sunday, one of our singers comes up and sings the offertory. And then every single Sunday, they go to sit down and hear the doxology and have to and turn around and go back, and we all laugh. And last week I told our music staff, when that happened with all three of them, I said, oh, I am gonna so miss that laughter part of worship, because laughter is healing medicine and it always just brings a smile to my face. So Ivy, thank you so much for keeping up the tradition and allowing us the laugh of forgetting the doxology. And so it also to tell you, you are in wonderful company in doing that. But with that, my friends, will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I have been so excited to get to this Sunday. So excited to get to the Shield of Faith Sunday. Becky, have you been feeling this same excitement? And I cannot believe you didn't use it in your children's time, that you allowed it to be saved for me. But what happens when we talk about the shield of faith, but gives the ability to stand up and talk about and recognize the shield of faith called Captain America's shield? If you do not know, this is the symbol of Captain America's shield, and maybe mine isn't round like Captain America's. Maybe I need to, does that make it round if I do that? But Captain America's shield. If you don't know about Captain America's shield, it was made during World War II by Howard Stark, and he made it out of an incredibly rare material called vibranium, the strongest element on Earth that can only be mined in Wakanda. Now, if you don't know Captain America, you might be thinking, I have never heard of vibranium, and I have never heard of the country called Wakanda. I will let you know, because Stan Lee made up both of them, vibranium and Wakanda. But it leaves it as the most sturdy, stable, and incredible shield that could ever be. The first time that Captain America held that shield, Agent Carter shot 2 bullets at him that he quickly held up, and it stopped both those bullets. She was really trying to strike at his ego, but the shield caught it anyways. It's a shield that defends him. It's a shield that helps him combat the enemy. It's a shield that when he jumps off buildings is able to use to land and keep him safe. It's a shield that he uses to break locks and open doors. Many uses for that shield. I could spend the entire sermon talking about it. But unfortunately, as Ephesians 6 challenges us to armor up and talks about the shield of faith, this is not the shield that Paul is talking about. The shield that Paul is talking about is one that was recognized as the shield that was held by the Roman soldiers. And that's the kind of shield that we will be talking about today. But before we get into that shield, we need to look into the story this morning and how it relates into the shield of faith. So here we have Jesus, and Jesus has just been doing incredible work. He has just spent the day preaching, feeding the 5,000, and it comes to the end of the day, and Jesus sends his disciples along. Why? Because Jesus understands the need for self-care. Jesus understands the need for connecting with God to refuel, reconnect, and be ready for the next step in his journey. And he needs that to be a time alone. And so the crowds get sent away, the disciples get shoved off in their boat on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus, much like Moses, heads up the mountainside to go and spend the night with God. But while Moses is up on the mountain spending his time with God, the disciples are on the boat, and it said that violent winds and a storm came up around them. In many translations, The words for this storm says it was a torment against them, that they were out there being tormented and tested and tried on those waters. And if we move into the other gospels, we will hear this story much in the same way, but with Jesus in the boat with them. And Jesus challenges them of having little faith because they freak out over the storm. You have little faith that didn't realize I would protect you. But the disciples in this story don't freak out about the storm. It doesn't talk about the worry about the wind and the waves. Maybe this is after the other story and they've learned not to freak out. But when they do freak out, as the dawn is approaching, Jesus decides to join them on the boat. But because the wind has been pushing the boat, it's pretty far from shore. And Jesus doesn't hail a taxi boat, but just starts walking on the water. Why? Because he's the Son of God and can. So as he's walking out, what happens? But the disciples see him. And their human minds cannot conceive of the idea of a human being, even the Son of God that they know, walking on the water. So they assume it must be a ghost. It must be something of danger. And so now is when they start freaking out. And as they freak out over this image in the sea, this person coming towards them, it is then that Jesus chastises them and says, "Ye of little faith, why are you so frightened?" But hearing this, Peter is so Peter. Peter with confidence and an ego, the kind that got Captain America shot at by Agent Carter, challenges Jesus. "Now, if you are who you say you are, invite me to come and walk out there with you." What is that "if you are who you say you are" reminding us of? The tempter, when Jesus is 40 days in the wilderness fasting, "If you are the Son of God, turn rocks into bread and jump off this mountain." It's the same as those who mocked and questioned Jesus when he was hanging on the cross. "If you really are the Son of God, just leap off that cross." Here, Peter isn't showing faith. Here, Peter is challenging Jesus. "I need you to prove who you are. I'm not taking you at your word." He sees it and thinks, "If you're doing that, I think I can do that too." It reminds me of a trip we took several years ago to Knott's Berry Farm. And one of the young people that was with us that will remain unnamed saw this carnival game. And it had a rope ladder from the ground leading up to the top of the tent structure. And if you were able to walk all the way up without falling down, then you got a prize. And this young person said, "That's easy." The money went down, and onto the ladder they went. Up and up and up and up and up they went until that ladder twisted and they couldn't hold on, and down they went in a humbled fall. Why? Not because they weren't strong enough, not because they didn't have enough balance, but because what they realized is the truth that carnival games are rigged against us, aren't they? Slightly bent basketball hoops, bottles staggered in such a way that the ring can't fall on them. And day after day, people lose their money because it looks so easy. "I can get that prize." And over again, are humbled to learn they just can't do it because of the nature of the game. So here's Peter. "You're doing it, I can do it." Instead of staying in the safety of the boat with the rest of the disciples, asks Jesus to call him out on the water. And out onto the water he went. And Peter starts walking. I was trying to imagine what that must have felt like, those first steps, walking on water. An unbelievable feeling it must have been until the wind started, right? The winds started. That torment and pressure that they'd been feeling in the boat starts to push against Peter. And does Peter keep the faith? Does Peter keep his eyes on Jesus? Does Peter keep walking? No. Peter begins to sink. And why does he begin to sink? His faith isn't strong enough yet, but he also begins to sink because he is human. Have you had those moments in life where you think you're unstoppable, invincible, I can totally do this? And then we remember our humility and our humanity, and we begin to sink. We begin to feel the failure. We begin to feel that we just can't do it alone. That's Peter in this moment. And like the disciples, Peter gets chastised. You of little faith. But even with that little faith, Jesus picks him up and safely puts him back in the boat. Now notice something about this story. We hear nothing of awe that the disciples had for Peter. There's no high fives. Hey, look at you, you walked on water. There's no praising of Peter. There's no, I wish I would have been the one to do it. The sole focus is on Jesus. The sole focus is in awe that Jesus is the Son of God, capable of calming storms and walking on water. Maybe this is telling us that they weren't supposed to leave the boat. So many of us preach the faith of Peter and the courage to step out of the boat, the courage to act, the courage to trust Jesus to allow us to do things that aren't humanly possible, that go against the laws of science. But maybe that's not the point of this story. What if the point of this story was to have faith to stay in the boat, to have faith to stay in there and patiently wait for the storm to pass and safely get to the other side of the sea to continue the ministry and the mission that they had. Because sometimes that takes more faith, to stay in the boat, to stay the course, to have trust that God will push us through, as opposed to jumping out of the boat and seeing if we sink or if we float. This is what brings me to the shield. This idea of staying in the boat, the idea of waiting it out. Because you see, these Roman shields, they weren't small, round, easy to hold and move and run with shields. If you read, the Roman shields back in Jesus' time were the body length of a soldier, and they were wide enough to cover themselves and a third of the soldier next to them. These are big, heavy, leather shields. But what was the important thing about these shields? As the enemy was coming towards them, as the threat was coming, they linked these shields together and created what they called a shield wall. And not only those in the front row that were holding their shield were protected head to toe and full width, plus the person next to them, but everybody behind them at the wall was also protected from the enemy that was coming. It wasn't about charging. The shield wasn't about being on the offensive and using it against an enemy like Captain America, but it was about the defensive protection mode until it is safe to move forward and attack. So here in Ephesians 6, we have the shield of faith. And maybe that shield of faith is like Captain America's, that calls us to step out of the boat and move and be bold and courageous and go without a worry. But maybe, just maybe, that shield of faith isn't about the offensive, but maybe it's about the defensive. Maybe that shield of faith that was spoken, knowing those Roman soldiers, is about us when we face the storm, when we face the enemy, when we face the tormentor in wind and waves, that it's about linking together, hunkering down, and patiently waiting that storm out with God's protection until it's safe to move forward in our mission and ministry together. What if that's what that shield is? What would that look like to us? What would it look like to hold that shield up? In times in our life when we're feeling pressed upon, it could be so easy to go on the offensive. I've done it. Somebody makes me angry, somebody incites me, and out of my mouth comes arrows back at them, right? And it's almost as quickly as they come out that I wish I could take them back. But if I had that shield of faith, as those words or actions are coming at me, that shield could help me to protect myself and stay safe in a patient and controlled place until that danger passes and I can move forward with the words that are well thought out, the words that are not arrows, but the words that are of that peace that we talked about last week. What a difference that can make. What if instead of quickly jumping, we stay back patiently? To think about the woman caught in adultery. What was the charge? That it should be death by rocks. And what happens when the call of conviction, when the call of stoning comes, you see people in the crowd picking up rocks, ready to take her life together. It's that mob mentality. Everyone else is doing it. We got to protect our town. We got to do justice. And I pick up my rock and I'm ready to go. We can easily be in this state today. Everybody's throwing arrows. Everybody's jumping in. But what if we're the one that says, with the shield of faith, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna keep my head on. I'm gonna keep my mouth closed. And I'm gonna wait for God's call to say, you're at the shore, step out of the boat. I think about the riots and protests that are going on in Portland right now. Angry rioters on one side, angry police on the other. But what do I see in the middle? A wall of moms, right? Those protectors that say, let us draw the line, that tries to bring peace and protection between the two groups. What if we as Christians work to be in that place? To see where the storms and the torments are, knowing they are all around us right now. And how do we have the ability to take that shield, to protect ourselves and to help protect those around us, to link up together as Christians, and to say we can provide protection in this time because of the faith that we have in God and God's Holy Spirit. And let's hunker down. Let's be together. And we will get through this because our God is a good and faithful and loving God. There is a time for action. There is a time for speaking. There is a time for leaping in faith. But sometimes there is also a time to go into a patient, faithful mode of waiting and watching and having faith in the next step that God will show us. My friends, will you pray with me? Gracious God, you know the storms that we face. You know the sights that we see. You know that which torments us and teases us and tests us. And you know all the human emotions that comes with it. But we also know that you call us to have the shield of faith. And where the breastplate guarded our hearts, the central part of who we are, here our faith is able to protect our whole being, our whole life, and even when our faith is strong enough, can help protect those around us. Help us to have the faith to know when to act and when to jump. But also, help us to know when the time is to wait patiently, hunkered down together, waiting out the storm to find the shore on the other side. When is the time to hold our tongues, to put our hands in our pockets, to sit down instead of standing up, to be the ones that inspire peace and patience instead of just adding to the arrows that are flying. May we find all of this through the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who we prepare to meet at your table today and to eat of the sweetness of his meal that he provides. For all this we pray in your holy and faithful name. Amen. Oh, and now science with Miss Leah.